Chris Lorton here for WJBM Studios in Jerseyville, Illinois, and the Local Spotlight Show. I'm glad that you've tuned in. Today, of course, as you all know, the voice of the Tri-Counties. Well, I have another voice that's been the voice of WJBM and the Tri-Counties for 40 years.
40 years.
Yes. Welcome, Allie Ringhausen.
Thanks, Chris.
Yes, we got to have you on the Spotlight Show. Talk about, I mean, 40 years. My gosh, son. Isn't that crazy?
I don't know how it happened.
Yeah.
It's kind of mind-blowing.
Yeah. And you're going to retire.
You're going to retire from the station.
From the station.
Yep.
So you have other plans? What you're going to do? Got some things up your sleeve?
Yeah, I have a list of things that I'm going to start doing. One is I'm going to retrain myself to sleep later in the morning.
Yes. You know, I don't know who could do that for 40 years. I mean, what time would you have to get up?
I used to get up about 4:30 every day.
Yeah.
And on weekends, you know, even if I don't set an alarm, I'm getting up. I wake up at 4:30.
Of course. Yeah. You know, you've just been
just like clockwork.
It. Yeah. Before we get into the radio biz, in your history, tell us a little bit about you as a family man, because a lot of people may not know.
Well, I mean, going back, I was born and raised in Jersey County, lived in Jersey County my whole life. I grew up out in the country, out west of Fielden, out in the hills.
Yeah.
The apple orchard.
Right.
Apples and peaches, and grew up. I had three brothers, Rick, Dennis, Brad. You know, they're all still around here. My mom and dad, you know, both still out at the farm working every day. Joe and Sina Ringhausen. And
I heard stories about your dad. He's phenomenal about the way he's a worker. He just keeps on working. I just heard you stories, you know, talking about him.
He still is.
Yeah.
We were joking around. We were at a family event one time. And, you know, this hasn't been that many years ago. And the four brothers were sitting together talking, you know, about, you know, aging and what we're capable of doing still. And we were talking about, well, when you go upstairs, you take two steps at a time. And we're like, well, yeah, let's try. And then we turned to Dad, you know, who's 88, and said, Dad, at what age do you stop taking two steps at a time? He said, I'll let you know when I quit. He's not going to let up. But it was a good line. It was great growing up, you know, on a farm.
Uh-huh.
You know, we had all kinds of animals and pets and different stuff like that. And we picked a lot of apples and peaches. I mean, I don't know if, you know, you grew up in Calhoun. I don't know if you ever had the joy of going out and picking peaches on a 98-degree day and having the peach fuzz flying around and stuff and knowing that you're going to have to do it the next day and the next day and the next day.
No, I never.
It's a weird feeling. But
I never did that.
But. It's different. It's unique. And what Dad told us then was that you boys get through this and everything else in life will seem easy. And he was right.
Yes. Working as a DJ, that's got to be a little bit easier.
Yeah, it's air conditioned if nothing else, you know?
That's right.
It was still fun, though, you know, and we kind of made our own fun. When we weren't working out there, it's a good place to grow up
and then
make friends.
So, and you went to college?
I did. I went to Lewis and Clark College, mm-hmm. Just down the road because it was convenient and fairly inexpensive, and then after that, I went to Carbondale.
What did you major in? What was your majors?
Well, you know, in Lewis and Clark, you know, you're just getting your basics out of the way and getting an associate's degree so you can move on to, you know, your next couple of years. And I started out, weirdly enough, in speech pathology and audiology. And the farther I went in that, the less I liked it. And then I ended up changing over and I ended up with a master's degree in environmental science.
Wow. Congratulations. I didn't know that. That's great.
Yeah.
And then when did you meet Sarah?
Okay. I met her
when, where, why, how?
Well,
what was it like?
That was quite a few years ago, but we met on a blind date. And we were both in friend's wedding. And so before the wedding, the year before or so, they set us up on a blind date, and you know, we hit it off,
yeah.
And I'm not sure what year that was, but I don't know. We got engaged in, I think, 87 or 88 and got married in 1989.
Cool. And you have a couple children?
Two girls. Elizabeth is the oldest. She is married and living in California. She's a mechanical engineer, and so is her husband. They're both mechanical engineers. They met in advanced calculus class, and I guess, you know, felt they had a lot in common mathematically, and it all added up that yeah. they should get married. And then my younger daughter, Julia, just graduated from college herself.
Oh, yeah?
And she has a degree in food science and got a full-time job, and Sarah and I now kind of bumble around a big empty house.
So what brought you to WJBM? How'd that happen? Did you have another job or something? And then how did you come to WJBM?
You know, I had gotten out of college with a bachelor's degree. This was before I went on to get my master's degree. And I just wanted to do something at the time. And I got a job as a carpenter. I was working for a company over in St. Louis, Bellman Builders.
I've heard of those guys.
They were framers. You know, we'd go out and we'd build a house. You know, like you'd come up to a concrete foundation and you'd frame the house.
Right.
And once you framed it, you know, as we were leaving, the electricians and plumbers were coming in, and we moved to the next foundation. It was just, you know, you were working in a subdivision. And, you know, it was interesting, different, and, you know, you worked with your hands, and, you know, I was young.
Yeah.
And then I had this motorcycle wreck, and I couldn't, you know, work for a little while. You know, I couldn't hold a hammer, couldn't swing a hammer and stuff, and so I was kind of recovering. And during that time frame, WJBM here had changed hands, and they put out this advertisement. They were, you know, looking for staff. I thought, well, you know, that might be something interesting right now.
I mean,
right
you had
now.
A speech pathologist. Right. I mean, you know, you knew about speaks, right?
A little bit.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was local and stuff like that. And the station had been owned by, you know, a group. Bob Skibbe's one of them. I think Janet Grecke was another. Maybe Bud Price, I think, was another one. And, you know, so they were divesting themselves out of it. And there was a company out of Tennessee bought the station at the time. It was AM-FM. And, their plan was to separate the two, then keep the AM here in Jerseyville and set the FM side up as a St. Louis market radio station, Kix 104.
I remember that.
Remember Kix 104?
Yeah, in that FM station frequency, that had a big frequency.
It did.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, yeah.
You know, I mean, of course, that's why they wanted it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And in the early days, it was kind of interesting. You know, they, moved the tower down to Godfrey, so it was going to be closer to St. Louis.
Yeah.
And, you know, get more, a little farther south into that market. And they bought had an agreement to put a tower right at the edge of Godfrey, you know, down by Clifton Terrace. And then they had all these issues, you know, with interference and stuff, and they finally discontinued it. But when they first started, they had the tower and the transmitter there at that site, just outside of Godfrey. And one of my earliest duties was to go down there, and I would have to take these readings, you know, like continuously. And so I would, you know, like spend hours in this little concrete block building with all this transmitter equipment in there, you know, keeping all these records, you know, like one of the first things I do. And then later, you know, they disassembled that radio station and or the tower and moved it to a different location. But the piece of property where that occurred, where they had that tower, and I was sitting there as a young guy, you know, writing down all these meter readings all the time. The other organization I work with now owns that piece of property.
Really?
And so now I'm back out there and doing other things. So it was just kind of a weird, you know, how it came circular around. But what I first started doing here was to play music as they were making this transition, you know, between the AM and the FM. And the station was purchased by Sheldon Davis, Shelly Davis, they called him.
Uh-huh.
And Shelly Davis was kind of this bigger-than-life kind of character. He was the manager for the Oak Ridge Boys.
All right.
The, you know,
Oak
Ridge Boys. And I think he managed a couple other groups, but, you know, he, you know, lived in Nashville and kind of would travel between Nashville. He'd come up here and stay a few days, and then go back down there as he was trying to get this.
And this was the AM station, right, at this time?
Well, he owned both. He owned it all. He'd bought the whole thing.
I got
and,
you.
And so he was, you know, keeping this one going and then getting that one started up.
Keeping this as an AM and then getting the other FM going.
Kicks 104 down there. And then also, you know, other business ventures. But the guy was like a real wheeler dealer. He hired a guy by the name of Ron Mott to be the station manager here.
Yes.
And Ron Mott was, he was also a very verbal, outspoken kind of guy. And he had been radio station managers kind of like all over the place. You know, he was a seasoned professional. He knew what he was doing. But they kind of brought him in as the new broom to kind of...
Sweep up, clean up.
Yeah, well, you know, new broom sweeps clean. Yeah. So he was kind of eliminating some of the longtime announcers here. And, you know, the group that was here were a little bit nervous about all this.
Why did they want to get rid of him?
Because he wanted to change the way the station was run. You know, and at the time, you know, they had, you know, kind of the daytime thing going on here. And then they had other groups that would actually pay to, like, for an hour's worth of time, and then they would go out and sell their own commercials for that hour and do their own show. Like Ed and Alice's Rock and Roll Show was an example of that. Or there was another one, Lazy Joe Greenwell.
Okay.
And, you know, they had these different groups through the day that were just buying a block of time and then selling their own commercials and playing whatever they wanted to play.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, that was a kind of style of radio that, you know, was pretty much a thing in the past, except for here.
Yeah.
And then also on weekends, they would have different religious groups that would also pay for time. And they would come in and like have almost like a religious service right in this room that we're sitting in now. And they had a piano against this wall, and they would bring in, you know, a bunch of musical instruments and have a show, you know, like play gospel music. And I'd be, you know, since I was the new guy, I'd be sitting in the other room running the controls while, you know, they would sing a song, and then they'd preach for a while, and then they'd sing another song. And
so when you first started WJBM, you were taking notes at the out at the other tower, right?
Yeah.
But at what point in time did they say, "Hey, I want you to go on the air"?
Well, that was pretty much first day.
Okay.
I came in here, and I can remember the
with no experience.
None.
No.
And they said, "You know, come in Saturday, and the Saturday guy will get you started. He'll, you know, show you what to do." And what have you. And the Saturday guy was a guy by the name of Mike Adams. And Mike Adams had been here for a few years, and he was a really good guy. He was understanding. He was patient. Yeah, and he really helped me get started and get over my, you know, that first set of nerves of being on the air. And so I started doing this shift for like 2 hours on Saturdays. Okay. And then I would do the Sunday mornings to run the controls for, you know, the all the different religious groups that would either come in here or submit a tape that you had to run during the course of the morning.
Hey, if you're just tuning in to the Spotlight Show, I have Allie Ringhausen telling his story of WJBM, and he's sticking to it. Go ahead, Allie.
So, you know, I'd be in there on Sunday mornings, and you'd have all these different preachers that were coming in doing their shows, and one by one, you know, on Sunday morning, I'd be here, and here'd come Ron Mott in, the new manager, and one by one, he would come in and tell them that we're ending your show, we're not going to do this anymore, and that did not always go over really good, you know, watching him, you know, eliminate these people one by one, you know, it's like, wow. But Ron Mott, getting back to him, you know, and I really liked him a lot. He was very vocal. You know, he had his office back in the other half of the building. You could hear him from this end of the building because he'd get to talking real loud and telling stories and get extremely animated. So he was kind of like a Benny Rooster kind of guy.
Uh-huh.
But he was he knew his business, you know, and I respected him and appreciated the opportunity that he gave me. And he told me, he said, "I want local guys to be on the air here. You know, they know the people, they know the lay of the land." And he said, you know, that's half the business, is having local people talking about local things. And
I agree 100%.
And you're following that philosophy.
Sure.
And we didn't always have that here at the radio station. But Ron, you know, he was here, I don't know, 2-3 years, not very long. And he did what they wanted him to do. You know, he came in and kind of changed it. restaffed it with other people at the time.
Now, when did Kevin Traub come in on this?
Kevin was already here.
Oh, when you got here?
Yeah. And the other daytime people, you had George Depper. He was doing the morning show. And Kevin Traub, he was doing, he was the news director and would do a bit of a morning show. And then Mike Abs would come in and do the later. And then they set me up to do this end of the day type show until things changed. But Kevin and George, they had been here for a while. And I was just, another one of these new guys that probably wasn't going to last very long. And George never really did talk to me that much. And I think he actually openly said, hey, new guy, he was calling me instead of my actual name. Kevin, he was one of these guys, and Kevin and I went to school. He was like 1 year ahead of me in school, so, I knew him. And but, in school we hadn't really interacted. And then finally, I guess he decided that, this guy's going to stay here for a while, So, and we became friends, start joking around here and had a good time with Kevin. But then, he stepped out and went into his family business, the ice cream business, Dairy Queen.
Right.
And made the jump over to that.
But he'd went to school to be a DJ.
Yeah.
Work on radio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I took that in college also, but I don't know what his degree, if it was associate's degree or what he had finally gotten. And I have no idea about what George had either, but George was one of these guys. I just, he did his thing and he was very animated on the air. And then once he got off the air, he just kind of disappeared into another part of the building.
Yeah. I've heard a lot about George Depper over the years.
Yeah.
His name came up. Yeah.
And he had, these, at the time he was calling himself George the Coyote Depper, and every so often he let out one of these loud howls, which was interesting as well. But Ron Mott left, and after he left, Dave Fuller from Calhoun County became the manager of the station. And things, kind of progressed forward. We had started off, I think when Ron Mott was here, we were doing like an oldies format, which I enjoyed a lot. Because at the time, the oldies then
weren't all that old. What was the oldies back then? 50s?
We were doing mostly 60s stuff, 60s. To be honest with you. Yeah, maybe a few 70s, but nothing beyond that. And then after Dave took over, we went to a country format for a period of time, which was interesting. And then
and that was in the 90s?
Yeah, I guess it probably would have been into the 90s. And then Dave was the manager for a while, and the owner, Shelley Davis, decided then to sell the AM side. And he sold it to a disc jockey out of St. Louis, had been in St. Louis for a long time, Gary Records Brown.
Yes.
And did you ever have the opportunity to meet Gary Records Brown?
You know what? I think I have, but it was fleeting, and I can't remember much about him. The only thing I do know is Records was his real middle name. That's what he used to say anyway.
Maybe. I don't know.
That's what I always heard.
The Gary Records Brown era here at the radio station was a really interesting time.
Now, what did he go with? Old rock and roll?
Yeah, he was an oldies guy. That was his forte.
Switched out of country.
Knew his oldies. He was a famous DJ in St. Louis, K Gold. The radio station K Gold. Right. He was there for a long time. I think he was on KADI as well.
And we're still AM.
We're still AM. Here.
Okay.
And Gary comes in. I remember he used to drive this little white truck. He had the radio station logo all the way down the side of the truck, WJBM. He brought in his own salespeople then at the time. And a couple of these guys from St. Louis, one of them I remember really well, his name was Barry Sternick. And Barry, like Gary, was also kind of a character as well. And we started doing car shows, the WJBM car shows. And
I remember that.
Different things like that.
I was in town. I came to town in 86.
Okay,
so
yeah.
I remember that.
And we had, Gary and Barry had come up with an old, I think it was like a 1961 T-Bird.
Yeah.
That was just an absolute piece of junk, and they somehow got it running, and got this really interesting paint job where it was all black, and it had these orange and yellow flames that went, you know, from the front of the car halfway down the side to where it looked like, you know, the Batmobile is
right.
Kind of what we nicknamed it here. And every event in town, we'd take the WJBM car out to it. And for a year, we gave people an opportunity to sign up to win this car. In a drawing. And you know,
for a whole year?
Yeah, went on for a year before they give it away. Because I think they were wanting to get as much promotion out of it as they could. And so you go out to different places. And I remember they had it out at the fairgrounds. There was some, it wasn't the fair itself, but there was some event went out there. And they said, you know, they all had things that they were doing. And they said, Allie, can you drive the WJBM car back to the station? I said, yeah, I guess.
I can drive anything.
Well, yeah, and plus I want to get in that old T-Bird, you know, with the cool paint job stuff.
Sure.
And as I'm starting to, you know, they're walking away and Barry says, watch the brakes. And
watch the brakes.
Yeah, what's that mean? And so, you know, I pull out on, I was going to pull on State Street, but when I rolled up to State Street, there were no brakes. That's what he was telling me. He could have told me. And so I just kind of cruise across over, you know, Fairgrounds Road, go across, and I drop it down to low. And the other thing, it didn't have a muffler on it. So I got this car with no brakes, no muffler, and, you know, the interior was just horrible. You know, you feel the springs coming up through you, coming up to meet you and stuff, and you sit down real low. You know, it's like a low rider. I barely see out the window. And here I am driving through, you know, this back street.
Well,
to town.
I understand. Whoa, 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 I understand whoa, 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 why they had you do that. Because you were a local guy. You wouldn't get the ticket. You'd get out of the ticket. Who else is going to drive that?
Yeah. So, you know, I came in, coasted back here, and came into the parking lot and, you know, kind of slid out on the grass and just shut it off and got out of it. But they finally did give that thing away. That was an interesting time.
Yes. The lucky person.
Another person who was working here at the radio station at the time was Shirley Scott. I don't know if you know Shirley or not.
I've heard the name many times. Was she kind of a manager of some sort?
Yeah.
Secretary manager?
She really kept things in control around here. You know, she started at the same time I did, you know, when Ron Mott came in and hired a bunch of new people. And Shirley was wonderful. You know, she kind of helped keep us in check a little bit. You know, said, no, you guys need to settle down. You need to probably not be doing that.
She was the den mother.
You need to get your paperwork into me. We got to get these orders filled out. You know, yeah, she kept things organized.
Yeah, we need somebody like that.
Thank God for Shirley. And
Allie, we have run out of time. Craig's waving his arms over there. All right. So we are going to end this episode now. And then we're going to pick it up and finish airing the second half of this, the Allie Ringhausen story, tomorrow or the next day, whichever day it comes out. All right? So
Sounds good. We'll
see you in a little bit, in a little while. All right? And we'll finish out the story of Allie Ringhausen, 40 years here at WJBM, and the life of times and what all went on. So thanks, Allie.